These two guys had played the game right, had worked their way to real wealth, and I was lucky enough to be at the table with them. Every poker night was an opportunity for me to learn from them and to work through my money struggles so that they could tell it to me straight and help me reach my full potential. Blame no one but yourself. The blamer mindset is toxic to success. The first step to getting out of it is admitting that your money situation is your fault. It's not the fault of the people with money, or the government, or your parents, or your employer. You either have enough money or you don't, and either way, you have no one to blame but yourself. It is not the government who kept you from paying your bills. It is not the billionaire fat cats on Wall Street who took your piece of the American pie. It's not because your parents didn't have enough money either. In the end, when all the bullshit you, your friends, and your deadbeat family members tell you is over, it is you who put you where you are. The good news is you're in control. By owning all of your financial missteps, you can start to take steps in the right direction. It's all up to you, and only you. If you pull yourself out of broke, you are the reason. If you started from nothing and have made it to the middle class, give yourself a quick pat on the back because you got yourself there. But don't for a second forget the message of this audio program. Regardless of your current financial status, you need more money. I need more money. We all need more money. There's no time to rest on your laurels. It's back to the grind until you have enough money to live the life that matches your wants, wishes, and needs. What I call the ability to lead your lifestyle by design. Your design. Now, a death or divorce can hurt you financially and may be out of your control. Divorce and death are both very real, and rarely do they provide financial benefit, if not leave you completely financially unaffected. But even in the face of these difficulties, it is you who must pull yourself up by your bootstraps and fix it. You have to come to grips with the fact that for better or worse, you are in control of the situation. Your boss did not make you broke. Neither did the company you work for. In fact, both of them contributed to your success by paying you a check that is cashable at the end of every pay period. You and your employer made a deal when you started working. You would provide the company with an effort and hopefully results, and they would provide you with a check that clears. Most companies will honor this agreement for a very long time. What if you work for a company at which the check they provide you doesn't clear? Or you freelance, or you have work on the side and provide services to a client who doesn't pay you on time? Well, once again, that is your fault for sticking around. I am amazed at how many people I interview who tell me that the reason they are leaving their current position is because their employer bounced their paycheck. When I push them for how long this has been going on, the answer is always weeks or months. It's never once. They stayed with the employer out of loyalty, fear, or stupidity. They told themselves it would be fine. They fell into false positive. Every time I encounter one of these people and I hear these excuses, I have to snap them out of it. You are the person that did not have the balls to stop being taken advantage of and leave. I understand it is easier to blame the man. But in order to get closer to having more money, you need to take full responsibility for your future and your current money situation. Drop the bullshit. No more excuses about who or what is keeping you down. When people are successful, others say and think things about them like, wow, they really made something of themselves, or they really worked hard for their success. Well, just as you can take the credit for financial success, unfortunately, you have to take all the blame for the failure too. If you end up settling for a small life, it will be your fault. If you end up living a life filled with adventure, luxury, and no financial worries, you'll be able to take all the credit. This choice is now yours to make. You have to dream, but don't stay a dreamer. Too many people are stuck in the dreamer mindset. I know you're thinking, Matt, how can I live the life of my dreams if I don't dream in the first place? Dreaming is how I know what to work for and where to go. I get it. And you're right. You do. In order to achieve greatness, you need to dream big and visualize the life you've always wanted. And hey, dreamers are great at doing this, but they also get stuck dreaming, never really achieving progress towards their goals. It's all dreaming, no action. I'm sure you have a friend like this, the one who's always talking about how much money she's going to make when she quits her dead-end job and starts her own business, how clients will be lined up outside her door, and how she's going to use that newfound wealth to travel the world, except none of it ever materializes. Your friend keeps working the same dead-end job, promising that she's going to quit when the time is right. This kind of dreaming is never going to take you anywhere, and it's the kind that paralyzes your financial situation. In the next chapter, I'm going to show you a structured way to dream your ideal life, and then give you the concrete steps you need to turn that from a dream into reality. Game facers have self-esteem and ask the right questions. The one thing all blamers and dreamers have in common is a lack of self-esteem. Before you can start to close your money gap, you've got to remove all of the obstacles that keep you from your financial goal line. It's going to take guts to make the millions of dollars you need to get you and your family into a position that allows you to lead your lifestyle by design. In order to have the guts to start the course, stay the course, and finish the course, you will need to fix your self-esteem. Self-esteem matters because you need the confidence to act and really push yourself in your race to make more money. In order to execute your plan and take action on it, you must have clarity on this. You can't spend your time thinking, am I worthy? Do I have what it takes? What can I give the person who already has everything? Do my partners respect me? Can I bring anything to their table? Am I successful enough to talk to him? Game facers don't ask these kinds of questions. The kinds of questions we ask ourselves determine how healthy our self-esteem is. Asking questions that make you doubt yourself undermines your self-esteem and sucks the energy you need to move the needle of your net worth. Do both of us a favor and drop it now. You do need to honestly evaluate yourself and your abilities. That's where doubt has its place. But while blamers and dreamers ask self-defeating questions, game facers ask questions that enable them to get ahead, like, what is the best use of my time in service of my goals? Or, what skills should I be developing so I can jump ahead in my career? In order to be worthy of achieving your dreams, you must believe that you are worthy of achieving your dreams. Training yourself to have high self-esteem will make all the difference in your thought and action process. Blamers and game facers answer the same questions differently. Let's take some examples of questions you might ask yourself when it comes to business, and the differences between how you might have answered yourself before and how I want you to answer yourself now to get rid of the excuses. Question number one, is now the time for me to ask for a raise? Blamer's answer, my boss hates me. She never gives raises, so why should I even try? The game facer's answer, I work hard and smart. I have solved problems that have increased revenue and value to my company. I've documented all of the value I've created for the company, and I'll present it to my boss. In the end, I will ask for a raise. If I don't get it, I'll start looking for a company that will reward me for problem solving and value creation. Question number two, is it really worth the effort to go after a monster client? The blamer's answer, that customer's too big for us. We'll just screw it up, so it's not going to be worth it. The game facer's answer, that customer would be a complete idiot to not want to do business with me and my company, and I'm going to find a way to prove it to them. Question number three, can I handle this timeline? The blamer's answer, no way. I have too much on my plate that I already don't get paid for, so I can't add anything else to it. The game facer's answer. I trust myself and my team. We love a challenge. We will accomplish the task because that's what game facers do. Question number four. Should we really spend the money to expand? The blamer's answer. We can't afford to expand. Let's not go for it now. We should wait and see if the economy turns upward in the future. Game facer's answer. Nothing will stand in the way of me and my success, especially not money. Action steps. Go from blamer to game facer. So I need to get you out of the blame game to get you to freedom. Where to start? Number one, face your money situation. Tell yourself and your loved ones the truth about your money situation. Yes, it's hard and it might disappoint them, but they will get over it once you get back on track, and you won't get back on track until you get real. Number two, skill up about money. Start slow or fast. It doesn't matter. But if you're going to stop complaining about money, you're going to have to understand it. Simply watch CNBC in the mornings or read the money section of USA Today. These two options are great for people looking to get their feet wet. Don't get overwhelmed. Money is not complicated. At the end of the day, financial success equals assets, what you own, over liabilities, what you owe. You want to own more than you owe. It's really that simple. And if you can learn what a basic balance sheet is, you will be ahead of most people you meet. Number three, let's talk about money. Read about money. Talk about money. Ask questions about money. It's time for you to stop being afraid to learn about or talk about this stuff openly and honestly with your peers and those you admire. Number four, make a list of excuses. That's right. You need a list of excuses. Every time you make an excuse for yourself, like, it's fine that I lost that sale because I'm having a decent year anyway. Or hear someone make an excuse like, the economy is in the toilet, so I can't expect to make more money this year. Write it down and then never use that excuse again, not to yourself or anyone. You'll catch yourself making excuses and slowly but surely get yourself out of the blamer mindset. Number five, insure yourself. If you don't have life insurance today, at this very minute, stop listening to this program and Google term life insurance in your local area. Set an appointment with an agent of a major insurance carrier and buy a policy. If you have no life insurance, don't get caught up in term versus universal versus whole just right now. Today, buy a 20-year term policy for a minimum of $500,000. If you already have insurance, it is time to give yourself a checkup. Make sure you have the maximum amount of coverage you can afford. I recommend 20-year term life because if you really put part two of this audio program to work, life insurance will eventually not become part of your financial well-being. For now, if you don't have a multi-million dollar net worth, buy as much 20-year term life insurance as you can afford. Number six, change your friends. Are your friends blamers, dreamers, or game facers? You need to start spending less time with the blamers and start spending more time around the game facers. The blamers are your chronically broke friends who are constantly complaining about how things never work out for them and are full of excuses. It's fine to hang out with dreamers, but don't spend too much time with them or you'll get stuck dreaming and never executing on your dreams. It's harder to spend time with game facers if they're not already on your team because they're busy playing the game and have less time to spend with you. But if you can catch them when they have some free time or offer to buy them lunch or just a coffee, you'll learn an incredible amount and get better at playing the game. Number 7, get competitive. Find the right people or companies to fuel your competitiveness and try to beat one of them every day. If you find yourself competing with a blamer, you'll find yourself going nowhere. You need to compete with people who are far above your level and beat them at their game. Never compete downward. Always compete upwards. Only then will you really start to move the needle of your net worth. Chapter 3, Lifestyle by Design. You need money for more than just emergencies and retirement. You need more money for one simple reason, freedom. Financial freedom gives you the best outcomes and version of your life. It allows you to breathe, to sleep well at night, to stop fighting with your partner, to give you choice and flexibility. Freedom equals choices. The choice to do what you want to do. But as we all know, freedom comes at a cost. The cost is having the balls to not do what the Joneses are doing, and therefore eventually being able to do what you really want to do. As my friend Grant Cardone, author of amazing books like The 10X Rule, says, pay the price today so you can eventually pay whatever price you want in the future. You'll understand how to shift your lifestyle to spend more time working on the process I will teach you in this audio program. You'll be able to visualize the life you really want and how to design your life to spend your time achieving that life with the most valuable resource on the planet, doing what you were meant to do. You'll stop doing what someone else has designed for you and start doing what you've designed for yourself. Put simply, you cannot do cool things without money. You can't take your kids to Disneyland. You can't buy the diamonds for your 20th anniversary. You can't buy any of the things or experiences you truly desire. Take, for example, giving your children the best they deserve. Think about it. What if your child has a talent for music or acting? She deserves to learn from the best and take a shot at making it big. You'd like to support your kid until she gets her break, but you and your spouse spent way too much time trying to impress your family and friends with fancy dinners, expensive gifts, and a mortgage payment that you really couldn't swing. Who really pays the price? Your brilliant kid does. Because you frivolously spent your money and shortchanged her dreams. So your child ends up having to take a dead-end job instead of going to Juilliard. Remember, money equals freedom. The freedom of choice, the freedom to give, and the freedom to help you and everyone around you reach their potential. Money is not emotion. It is not who you are, but simply a spoke in the wheel of your life. It helps you live the life you want, or it keeps you from living the life you want. Your job is to design that life and then make sure to generate enough tokens to feed the machine. Some people have much smaller designs. Maybe they like to live in a tiny house on the outskirts of town. They don't eat out or take fancy vacations. It's all good, as long as that life is the life they designed and not the life they settled for because they chickened out and didn't go for their dreams. As long as they didn't let the failure of their first business keep them from ever starting another. As long as getting passed up for the promotion didn't stop them from trying for another. It's not just affecting your wallet. Not having enough money affects more than your wallet. It could affect your marriage too. Think about this. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Today is going to be a great day, you say to yourself as you wake up. You want your wife to sleep in, and you visualize yourself having a relaxing morning drinking coffee and reading the Sunday paper. After all, you are now an empty nester. Your children are grown and out of the house, and the financial burden of college is now behind you. Helping your children get through college with limited student loans was important to you and very costly. But you are confident that you have the time to make more money and prepare for that comfortable retirement you've been dreaming of. As you carefully put your robe on, taking caution not to wake your wife, you leave the bedroom and quietly close the door behind you. You march to the front door to grab the Sunday paper that's always there, but that you rarely have had time to enjoy. You open the front door, but the paper isn't there. Very strange, you think to yourself, considering that your paper boy never misses a delivery. As you enter the kitchen to fire up the Keurig, you notice that it's already on. Someone has already made herself a cup of coffee, but who? The children are out of the house and your wife is still sleeping. Who could it be? And then you see her, sitting at your kitchen table, reading your Sunday newspaper and drinking your coffee. It's your mother-in-law. She is in her robe and hair curlers, and all your new reality comes flying back to you. She lives with you now. Why? Because neither you nor she saved enough money to prevent this from happening. Your wife brought up the subject so smoothly a few months ago. Honey, you know Mom is getting up there in age, and well, she hasn't handled her money very well. I know we've helped her over the years, but I think we should seriously consider letting her move in with us. You reply with, honey, your mother should have thought of that when she was younger in life. Her financial problems are really not our problems. Wrong answer. Well, what options does she have? Your wife continues. Mom didn't save her money. After she and Dad got divorced, they sold the house and she's rented ever since. Now that she's gotten older, she just can't get around as easily anymore, and her cash is gone. She's living on Social Security of around $1,600 a month. She can't afford much of anything. I will not have Mom on the streets. She is going to move in with us. You blurt out the first thing that comes to your mind. We could pay for her rent at the Garden Apartments just a few miles from us. We could get her a first-floor one-bedroom apartment with a patio. She would feel close to us, but also have her independence. What do you think, honey? Your wife shakes her head. Honey, we can't afford that. That's probably $1,000 to $1,500 per month, and we don't have it. She's right. You don't have it. You don't have the $1,500 per month to eliminate this situation from your life altogether. Had you done something different, like maybe not bought that jacuzzi, which your mother-in-law will now take over completely, or maybe put away more cash over time, or maybe actually started that business on the side, or proved your worth to get a raise from your boss, you would have easily had this extra money. But you didn't. And time marched on, and now you're stuck. And so the inevitable happens. You give in to make your wife and your mother-in-law happy. Welcome to the next 10 or 20 years of your life, with your mother-in-law in your face, 24/7, 365. You could have stopped this and stopped the fight if you had just had more money. It's things like this that can rock marriages and why so many couples fight about money. Emotions run deep, and you might even get divorced over something like this. Wouldn't it be better to have another option? If you had more money, you'd be able to put her in that garden apartment down the street. Problem solved, without it ever having disrupted your household, your marriage, or your life. Odds are that your parents and your in-laws don't have enough money either. In most cases, you will be called upon to fix not only your financial situation, but that of your parents and in-laws. Think about this. Most of our parents didn't do a good job of saving because they thought Social Security would save them. The average retiree has a retirement nest egg of $10,000 to $20,000. The average Social Security benefit for retirees is $16,100 a year. That's not much of a nest egg at all, and the burden of caring for these retirees will fall on your shoulders, just as it has fallen on mine. Both my mother and mother-in-law have virtually zero in savings and live almost exclusively on Social Security. My mother has monthly benefits of $1,300 per month, and my mother-in-law has monthly benefits of $1,800. It's hardly the retirement either of them planned for, more like didn't plan for, and my wife and I are left holding the bag. There's a very good chance that you will be called upon to help your aging parents in some way. Most people entering retirement have almost no savings. Wouldn't you like to be able to help out on your terms? If it's not in-laws or cancer, I promise you it's going to be something. There will be lots of times when you wish you had more money. In the end, the result will always be the same. You either have the money to fix the problem or you don't. If you do have the money, the problem will usually go away or the severity of the problem will be minimized. Money does fix a lot of problems. If you don't, your life can change in an instant forever. I challenge you to see your future before it happens. Plan a life that lives up to your potential and, for goodness sake, stack and rack enough cash to keep you in the driver's seat of your life. How to build a lifestyle by design. The goal of living a lifestyle by design is to thrive, not just survive. Sure. You could spend the rest of your life in a cramped, rented studio apartment eating rice and beans and ramen, but that's not your story. You are better than that. You are a game facer. You picked up this audio program for a reason. You want more. By listening this far, you have taken a tremendous step in the right direction. Let's keep going. This lifestyle by design process helps you determine your path. It's a systematic process of understanding where you are, where you want to go, and writing it all down so you'll want to take out some paper and a pen as we get into it. Visualizing what you want so you can get to work achieving it is the difference between those who get it and those who don't. There are five steps to the lifestyle by design process. Core values, visualize, the doorman principle, goal setting, and action. Really take your time on each step and don't rush it. It's important that you see every step of this process very clearly. Number one, core values. Core values are very personal to the individual, but they are critical. Whether you prioritize religious beliefs, commitment to charity, focus on family, the legacy you want to leave behind, or just your determination to hustle your ass off, you need to take the time to understand yourself and decide what matters most to you. I suggest you create no more than 4 to 6 core values. Here are my core values. Number one, practice daily rhythms to keep my family, both immediate and extended, together, strong, and thriving at all times. Number two, support my wife and my 3 boys in reaching their full God-given potential on a daily basis. Number three, force myself to reach my full God-given potential. Earn and keep an abundance of cash that provides my family with the freedom of stability and choice. Number four, work to improve my health on a daily basis. Number five, fight for the underdog and show people from all walks of life that they can have a lifestyle that they want and deserve if they are willing to visualize, set goals, and work hard to get it. Now it's your turn. Write down what you stand for and what you are not willing to bend on. Core values should be simple, shared with others, and unwavering. Here are some questions to help you create those 4 to 6 core values that the rest of your life will be lived by. What matters most to you in this life? What are you willing to do for your success? What are you not willing to do for your success? What other factors outside of making more money are important to you? Could be family, health, travel, religion, etc. Who are the most important people in your life? What do you want to provide for them? What are your personal, non-negotiable values? By writing down the answers to these questions, you will start to see what is most important to you in this world and what will stand tall amid all of the obstacles or little things that might get in the way. Take those answers and turn them into 4 to 6 statements. These are now your core values. Write them out clearly and put them in a place of prominence in your home or your work so you can remind yourself of them every single day. Your core values now become the foundation of your life. Once you have these in place, you have started the process of building your lifestyle by design, something to live by. Now you can start to get a strong grip on how much money you will need to pull this lifestyle off. Number 2, visualize. Now that you've identified your core values, take time to think. Close your eyes and dream about what you really want. Don't worry if it's realistic or how you're going to get there. Just see it and feel it and take time to think about it. The important thing here is to be as specific and detailed as possible. Don't just say, I want to travel. What are the places you want to visit? How often do you want to travel? Would you enjoy traveling for work, or do you only want to do it for pleasure? I have specifically listed the following areas of life in the order that I believe are most important for you to think about and visualize. But remember, this is your life. You are not designing my life. So make sure you use these as a guide and outline anything else that might be important to you. Think about what you want when it comes to passion. What makes you come alive? What do you need to have this or do this? Family. What do you value and what's important? What type of spouse do you want? Should they be a type A personality or should they be more relaxed? Do you want children or not? Do you want to be the breadwinner or should that be your spouse? Don't go easy on yourself here. Be very specific. Friends. Who are the kinds of people you want to surround yourself with? Are they funny? Wealthy? Healthy? How do they make you feel? What's important to you in a friendship? Health. You want to lose weight? You want to put on muscle? You want to quit smoking? Lifestyle. Do you want to travel the world? Sit on the board of nonprofit foundations? Do you want to work for 6 months a year and surf in Costa Rica for the other 6 months? Travel. Is this important to you? Where do you want to visit? At what kind of level do you want to travel? Education. To what level do you want to provide and or pay for education for yourself or your children or your grandchildren? And lastly, income. The granddaddy of them all. What are your income goals? Run out the financial needs of your lifestyle by design. How much will your travel cost? Your living expenses? Your spending? Go into tremendous detail in this exercise so that you have a very clear idea of what your desired life is going to cost. Number 3, the doorman principle. Once you have your core values and have visualized your ideal life, you need to prepare to make it a reality. But first, you need the doorman principle, as taught to me by my friend Rick Sapio. Some people can get carried away with their dreams, and in the pursuit of success, abandon all the things that matter to them or make them happy. How can you ensure that you don't lose sight of your core values? The doorman is the protector of your core values. He lets in the people, activities, ideas, and relationships that meet your core values and shuts them out if they don't. Everything that comes across your desk must be vetted by the doorman against your core values before it even gets to you. For example, in the early days of my business, I would take any opportunity to meet people and make new contacts. Now, I'm more careful about how I spend my time. If I don't know someone or don't see a good reason to get to know them, I don't give them my time. And I no longer take lunch appointments, ever. It's become a wasted activity for me based on my core value of work efficiency. If you want to see me, call my office. We will schedule a quick phone call to discuss opportunities. I don't need to waste 2 hours over lunch to find out that we are not a fit. I will gladly have a 10-minute phone call, but no more wasting time. Drop that doorman in front of all activities and make sure he lets in only the ones aligned with your core values. One of my core values is practice daily rhythms to keep my family together, strong, and thriving at all times. One of the ways I practice this is to have family dinners 3 times a week. The doorman principle makes sure nothing gets in the way of this. My doorman won't allow phone calls, meetings, or visitors to get in the way of how I practice my core values. In my house, we all make it a priority to be at the table for our family dinners. Much like a real doorman protects the residents of the luxury high-rise he guards, the doorman principle ensures that all of your activities first pass the test of your core values. Number 4, goal setting. Once you've defined your core values, visualized your ideal life, and put your doorman principle into place, you will use all 3 to set periodic goals. While your ultimate goal is to live the ideal life you visualized, this is where you break down that grand vision into concrete yearly, monthly, weekly, and daily goals that will help you get there. Most people set goals way too small. They set goals that seem achievable, and I set ones that seem unachievable. You need to push yourself to achieve more than you think you're capable of on a daily basis. When you set big goals, it makes your small problems go away. You stop worrying about the little things that get in the way because your mission is now so big. We waste too much time doing low-value activities and worrying about insignificant problems when we should be focused on high-value activities and conquering huge challenges. I used to scoff at the idea of goal setting until I realized its power, and I made it a daily habit. If you want big-time success in business, you must set big-time goals and revisit them every single day. Your goals must be big and specific. Your goals must address things like how many employees you want, how many people you can help, and what your annual revenue is going to be. And yes, you need to have goals of greater profits and a larger net worth. The important thing is to write down your goals daily. Once again, as my friend Grant Cardone says, if I set and review my goals twice a day for an entire year, that's 730 times per year. If you set your goals once a year on January 1st, who do you think has a better chance at reaching them? Need I say more? Write your goals down daily, period, end of story. Number 5, action. Once you've set your goals, you must take action to achieve them. Just do it, right? Action is the final step that will ensure you can have your lifestyle by design. Push hard in the direction of your dreams. Push really hard, much harder than you have been, and your lifestyle by design will happen much faster than you think. Decide today what you want tomorrow and take decisive and insane amounts of action to achieve it. Write your goals down every day as a reminder to you to not waste time on the small stuff. And doggone it, go bigger from the beginning. Action steps. Create your lifestyle by design. Number 1, determine your core values. Write down your 4 to 6 core values. Remember, these are personal to you in your life, not what someone else has told you or expects of you. Set up daily or weekly routines to help you strengthen your core values. Number 2, take time out of your day to visualize and set goals. Once you've identified your core values, you need to visualize your ideal life and set goals towards achieving it. This should be a daily practice so you can keep your focus on attaining your dreams and make progress towards them on a daily basis. Spend 10 minutes a day on this, either first thing in the morning or right before you go to bed. Get a goal-setting booklet. I love the 10X calendar by Grant Cardone. Costs around $20 and can be purchased at www.grantcardone.com. It has a place in it to write down your goals in the morning and in the afternoon, which can help you to make your goal setting a daily practice. Number three, install your doorman. Create your doorman. The doorman is the filter through which you will run all activities to make sure they connect with your core values. Develop the habit of stopping yourself before you say yes to anything and make sure that the proposed activity agrees with your core values. Number four, write out your lifestyle by design. What do the next 1, 3, 5, and 50 years look like? Put the details down on paper. Set up time to dream about them every week. Part 2, the roadmap. Chapter 4, Step 1, the litmus test. To draw your map to success, first understand where you are. Blamers don't care about their future. They've given up on the fact that they're in control and will use any excuse in the book to justify why they don't have a life they deserve. Dreamers are still waiting for their perfect life to magically appear to them one day. They love to dream, but can't pull the trigger on any of it. They live a life of someday, and that someday never comes. But game facers build their lives. They take complete control of the process. They build a roadmap based on their desires and make it happen. Now that you've figured out what you want for your lifestyle by design, you need to chart your course to achieve it. But in order to do that, you first have to answer a few questions to understand where you are right now. I call it the litmus test. Number one, are you living a life that is by your design and not someone else's? Number two, what stage of wealth are you in? I refer to three stages: broke, accumulation, and rich. Number three, are you in the right platform that connects to your goals, dreams, skills, and superpower? Number four, what is your risk tolerance? Number five, do you really need to take a step backward to take two steps forward? Number six, should you be an employee or an employer? If you choose employer, I will offer you some words of warning up ahead. In this chapter, we'll address each of these questions one at a time. The good news is that these questions are the key to figuring out your future and making more money. The bad news is this exercise isn't easy and pain-free. It takes grit and guts. If I had had the guts to do the litmus test sooner, I wouldn't be in the business I've been in for over 20 years. For all these years, deep down, I knew I shouldn't be in the transportation equipment financing industry, but that I should be a coach, a teacher, and a speaker. Although I knew it, I didn't take the path out of fear. Don't get me wrong. Through grit, commitment to my success, the support of my coworkers, and massive action over a long time, my team and I have made a tremendous living and career for ourselves. I'm damn proud of it. But deep down, if I had been honest with myself and done what I really wanted all those years ago, I would have gone to work for Tony Robbins. My first time speaking to an audience, I knew that was where I was meant to be and what I was meant to do. I'm a late bloomer. It's why I am now committed to writing this book and spreading the "you need more money" message so you can learn from my mistakes and so I get to do what I'm really meant to do, help you. The greatest gift the litmus test gives you is the permission to do what you are meant to do. That's not only great news for your happiness, but it's also how you make more money. When the work doesn't feel like work, when you are at true and total peace. The other thing the litmus test does is help you determine your risk tolerance. We'll talk about how risk is solved through research and analysis, but also how to use your risk tolerance to determine whether or not you should go into business for yourself. Don't worry. You can still make more money without becoming a full-fledged entrepreneur. Sounds like a plan, more like a roadmap, right? Good, let's roll. How big do you need to go? Now that you've created your core values, the building blocks of your lifestyle by design, visualized what you want and how you want to live, we need to determine how much money it will take you to live this way. We'll need to calculate the difference between the life you want and maybe you think you're living and the wages you are bringing in. It's time to get truthful about your monthly expenses and determine the cost of living your current lifestyle. Remember, game facers are not afraid of the truth. Use my categories as a guide. Break down what each of these expenses cost you each month. These are common categories that affect most of us. If you've got more, add them in. If you don't have some of these expenses, just put zero in that category. These are the categories I use for my actual budget. You're going to fill in the actual dollar amount next to the proper category. Your monthly income is. This number represents your take-home pay after taxes. Below that, I want you to write your monthly expenses are mortgage or rent, including your property taxes, home/renter's insurance, auto, car payment, car insurance, car fuel, birthday gifts for others, clothes, college savings, dog grooming, food, groceries at home, dining out, health insurance, housekeeper, life insurance, lawn care, music lessons, pool cleaner, retirement savings, schooling, tuition, school tutor, school activities, school supplies, select sports, registration fees, travel to play select sports, toy payments like boats or ATVs, etc., payment for toys, fuel for toys, insurance for toys, utilities, gas, electric, water, and lastly, vacations. My total monthly expenses are. You have now determined how much money you need to live your current lifestyle. Take this amount and multiply it by 12. You now have the annual income you need to produce after taxes to live your current lifestyle. This simple exercise is so rarely done by most people. We think we have an idea of what our lifestyle costs, but when we actually put it down on paper, we often realize we need more money, a lot more money. I'm proud of you. You just did more to understand your financial needs than most people. You move closer to game facer status. Are you in the right platform? Now that we know your monthly expenses, we're going to need to evaluate if you're in the right industry or what some call career path, but what I call your platform. Your platform is the industry you have chosen or will choose. Are you in the right platform to achieve your lifestyle by design? Because if you are not, you might need to take a step back before you step forward. You might be in the right place with your skills, but working in the wrong place, in the wrong platform. Your skills are only maximized to earn more money if you're using them in the right platform. It's important to figure out, am I in the right platform? You may be the world's greatest sandwich maker at Subway and dream of having a Lambo in the driveway, but unfortunately, you're in the wrong platform. You may be in the car business and be the top salesperson at your dealership every month, and selling 20 cars a month can make you a nice living. But you know every month your compensation plan is subject to change and that the management is going to cut you back if you make too much. The platform you choose has to give you the ability to achieve your lifestyle by design. The first thing you want to do is to take a look around your industry and ask yourself, Are there people in my platform who are currently achieving what I want and making the kind of money I need to live my lifestyle by design? In my personal example, I knew there was money in the equipment financing industry. I could see that people were making good money in the industry. Besides, anytime banks are heavily involved in a platform, you can rest assured there's money in it. I knew that the large publicly traded banks had the money, but they didn't have the gritty hustle I did. Therefore, I could out-hustle them and do well for myself. And I did. However, over 20 years later, the equipment financing industry has not changed at all. And many of the people who were starting to get lazy when I started are now on the door of retirement without a new infusion of young talent. The same is true in many industries. If you think big money only lives in startup social media platforms or in high tech, you're wrong. In fact, it might surprise you to learn that in the next decade, many of the old, once boring industries will make a comeback and create tons of amazing wealth opportunities for game facers. These are industries such as banking, insurance, real estate, transportation and logistics, manufacturing. These industries are filled with gray-haired management that are soon to be put out to pasture. They are working to retire, and many of them are simply trying not to get fired before they have barely enough to live on in retirement. This creates an amazing opportunity for game facers of any age to come in, take over their accounts, grow them, and make a lot of money. Add to this that many of these industries are behind the times in terms of marketing, storytelling, social media, advertising, and company culture, and you will see that they are ripe for takeover by hustlers with skills, by the game facers. Before choosing your platform, make sure someone inside of it is achieving what you want to achieve. The masses inside the platform don't have to meet all your criteria, but someone on the inside should. Do you have the ability, through your network or your pure gritty hustle, to hook up with the people who are currently winning in the platform you want to go into? As we discussed, having successful people around you in your platform is vital. If you're not following a proven producer, you might be betting on a false promise. The reason that so many people are terrified of picking a platform is because they really haven't seen anyone win in it. If you can't see anyone winning in your current platform, it's time to get busy finding successful people and following them to their platform. Only enter or stay in a platform if you can follow someone else's lead. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, might disagree with that idea, but he is one in 100 million. If you think you are that one in 100 million, go ahead, knock yourself out, start something from scratch, create something that has never existed before. But most of us have a better shot at success by following the odds. That's what I did. I went where the money was and carved out my own piece of the American pie. I suggest you do the same. Follow the money and don't buy into a lie fed to you by some underachieving manager. Another thing to consider when evaluating your platform, does the platform have longevity or is it a flash in the pan? If you don't believe in the importance of timing, just ask an Uber driver. The original Uber drivers who started with a company early made a lot of money. But within a very short period of time, competition and saturation flooded the space, and now most Uber drivers will make less money this year than they did last year. It started off as a great platform to make money, but no longer has the same advantage for the masses. It is a great fit for a side hustle, but it is no longer the road to riches that the original drivers thought it would be. Meanwhile, here are just a few platforms that aren't going anywhere anytime soon. Writing, storytelling, and video editing. These are only getting stronger in light of the impact of social media. Medicine and healthcare. Housing for all age groups. insurance, transportation, banking, and finance. And for the game facer who really wants to be on the cutting edge, cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, virtual reality, and automation of any kind. These industries are going to change the way our world looks at everything. I suggest you look very carefully at them and see if your skill set and lifestyle by design might be suited for them. Maybe your lifestyle by design matches with one of these industries and you are in the right place. Your current platform might not be on this list, and that's okay too. Just do an honest evaluation of whether your platform's time is over or if it has a tremendous upside. Ask yourself, am I in the correct platform to achieve my lifestyle by design? What is your risk reward tolerance? Being afraid of risk will only cost you money over time. But fear of making money is not real. It's just a trick that your brain plays on you. Your interpretation of risk is 100% connected to the amount of research and analysis you do. Let me give you an example. When a friend of mine introduced me to a private equity investment opportunity, I was scared of the risk involved. I didn't know anything about private equity, and therefore it seemed very risky to me. The private equity company specialized in investing in early and small healthcare technology companies. But the idea of investing in these kinds of companies was just so foreign to me. I didn't understand the business, and because of that, I was nervous. My friend had already done a few investments with this group, and all had paid him back handsomely. In order to evaluate the risk of this investment, I had to do more research and analysis. I have trained myself to conduct massive research and analysis before I pull the trigger on any investment. This unyielding process forces my brain to look at risk and reward differently. After the research and analysis are complete, if the data and my gut feeling of the deal still produce tremendous risk, I pass. So I didn't just take my friend's word for the success in the private equity deal. I researched it. I called my family friend, another private equity guy, and I ran it by him. I ran it by my CPA and my attorney. I Googled article after article about private equity. I researched and analyzed the heck out of it before I invested in it. I made sure to have a thorough understanding of the entire deal, the pros and the cons, the potential payout and the potential loss. All that research and analysis provided me with clarity. That knowledge removed my doubt and fear of the risk and made the decision to pull the trigger and invest easy. The reason risk makes you so nervous is that you are unsure. The reason you are unsure is that you have not done enough research to determine what the correct decision is. The most financially secure people I know are willing to continue to make moves in what most other people would deem highly risky ventures. But for them, there is little or no uncertainty. Why? Because they are playing to their strengths. They have done extensive research, gathered the facts, factored the potential losses into their calculation, and maybe hedged their bets, and so the decision becomes crystal clear. Why do successful real estate developers continue to buy more property and continue to build up their portfolio by purchasing more property? Because they have done their homework, tested the market, and come to a conclusion about how to manage the situation. The fear of risk lives with those people who have taken neither the time nor the effort to understand the data, every inch of it, and therefore are still uncertain. We all perceive risk differently. If you were single and living in a studio apartment with total bills of $2,000 per month, your risk tolerance might be different than if you were married with a big mortgage and two kids in college. But in either case, doing research and analysis is the key to understanding risk and enabling yourself to make big moves with confidence. I will never forget a meeting that I had with a billionaire in Dallas last year. He wanted to explore the possibility of investing in my business. But after about an hour, it became clear that he was not interested in investing in CFF. He wanted to finance subprime credit, and my company only finances prime credit borrowers. Because we only finance business owners with good credit, our yields are smaller than subprime, but he was looking for bigger yields. After I explained that,